Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 25th of March, recording at 8:01 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Another interesting day. And Asian stock markets, well, following the sell-off that we'd seen on Wall Street yesterday, they were mostly a little bit lower. Australia was an exception with a modest gain. European stock markets also started off a bit weaker, but picked up towards their close and ended the day with modest gains. And Wall Street's been interesting all over the place. It opened higher on durable goods orders came in better than were expected, and that also was accompanied by a sharp drop in inventories, and the market liked that. Dow eventually got to a point where it was 200 points higher, and then it gave the whole thing up and went down 100 points. I think partly with the help of, a couple of bearish reports, a downgrade on a bank, one of those bearish bank reports coming from Goldman Sachs. But then the states, the U.S. market rather rallied. We're still getting some after-hours figures here, but the Dow's currently up 90. And we've got gains of about 1% across the board in terms of the main indices. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, they are weaker in here today, although the UK gilts rallied a bit following an early sell-off. And the US dollar, is currently showing. Yes, the U.S. dollar is weaker now, and euro is back up to 135.94. The precious metals bounced here today, not a whole lot, but well, they're well off their lows of the day. They had been down earlier on. Gold is currently at 934, but it has been as high as 940. Silver is also a bit firmer, as is platinum. And that's pretty much it. Soft commodities, mixed, maybe a few more down than up. Okay, what about oil? I forgot that. Oil and natural gas down a little bit. All right, what's going on generally? Well, in stock markets, you know, we've had a terrific rally. Too good a rally to be classified as a dead cat bounce, which is what people were saying it would be at the beginning. A Fuller Money point I made: if the rally was going to be good, it would be persistent. And I think we have seen quite a persistent rally. We have seen that rally push back up into trading ranges where we had seen downward breaks. We have seen some of the stronger markets move back to the higher side of their overall ranges and net it all out, and it all looks like ranging base formation development, sort of thing that we had been calling for really since late October, and very much in line with our long convalescence due to the fact that this was very much a financial recession, and that they tended to be lengthy, and it was also quite difficult recession, obviously, in response to that perfect storm, really, of the OECD banking debacle, or I should say Western banking debacle, and the fund-aided spike that we saw in commodity prices during the first half of last year. Well, all that's changed, and again, I emphasize that the stock market action looks very much to us like type 3 base formation development. That's those are those long-ranging patterns that eventually support decent recoveries. Those recoveries are being led by the four money themes of Asian emerging markets and resources. Now, Wall Street doesn't lead anything, as I've mentioned before, except occasionally on the downside. One of the reasons why it doesn't lead is the sheer size of the market, a little bit like a supertanker, in terms of its the time it takes to turn it around. I would also describe Wall Street as the elephant in the room that casts a very, very big shadow, which I refer to as the leash effect. So if Wall Street's weak, that tends to drag other markets down as well. And conversely, if Wall Street is neutral or firm, other markets do even better. The markets that are going to lead, certainly on the upside, are those that have current account surpluses, that have high savings rates, and better GDP prospects. And that takes us back to emerging Asia. Also, better valuations, I would add. Wall Street's action today is interesting. It looks to me like consolidation. The most negative thing I can say about stock markets today, this is really specifically about the rally that we've seen since about the 6th or 7th of March, is that in the short term we have overbought indicators. Now, some people feel that that's going to drive markets, stock markets, all the way back down. And it's not surprising that they say that because we have seen in the past, really over the last couple of years, that when stock markets staged a technical rally and then became clearly overbought on the basis of short-term indicators, people sometimes say, "What do you mean by short-term indicators?" Well, look at the stochastics. You can put those up, or you can create those in the library in the charting feature. And the market becomes temporarily overextended. But my point is that when that's happened during the last couple of years, stock markets have been sold off fairly heavily. So there, again, are quite a few people who expect that's actually going to happen. I've got an open mind on this, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if the sell-off did not occur. And that's because all the building blocks for a recovery are in place. The extreme doom and gloom and depression fear that has been so rife in the markets is abating somewhat. We're even getting some slightly favorable instances of economic data, or some slightly more favorable evidence of economic data. It's going to be mixed for quite some time, and there'll be plenty of bad news, more bad news than good news, but the stock market's a discounting mechanism, and it will anticipate an eventual improvement in the global economy. My own view is that what we'll see is that the economic news, will still be mostly negative, but not quite so bad as people had been expecting. And therefore, you go from quarter to quarter. First quarter's bad as the fourth quarter was last year. Maybe the first quarter isn't quite so bad as as Q4 last year. And then we see that the second quarter of this year is not good, but it's not as bad as the two previous quarters, and so on, until we eventually get into recovery mode, which at best case is really occurring during the second half and more likely 4Q. That's best case. If it's worse than that, then we will see. In other words, if we don't see any signs of global recovery until 2010, that would surprise me. But if that is the case, then we could expect a number of these stock market indices to at least retest their lows. But I'm more optimistic than that. I think we'll have some clear evidence of economic recovery, at least by year end, and that stock markets are beginning to look ahead to that point. and there is quite a bit of cash around, as you know. And if short selling becomes a bit less lucrative, and let's face it, the bears have pretty well had their way with the markets. But if that exercise becomes a little less profitable, then we, of course, are removing selling pressure from the market. And that helps the rallies and emboldens the bulls. I still want to emphasize that it's too soon to be talking about sustainable uptrends. They will begin to emerge, but we're still in the ranging, base building, convalescence mode. But as I said, really at the beginning of this rally, there was a chance that the March downward break was the equivalent of the October 2002 low. Now, if you remember, go back and look at the October 2002 low in the chart libraries. It was mostly the Western markets that moved to new lows, not substantially, but they did hit new, they mostly moved down to the bottom of the bear market at that point. But some of the emerging markets, led by Asia, were doing better. And that's what we're seeing today. It doesn't surprise us one bit, given the overall fundamental background, including valuations. What about these long-dated government bonds? Well, my goodness, all this talk of quantitative easing, I have in the past described it as jawboning or cheerleading on the part of the central banks. Or a threat even, but they're having to do a lot of talking to keep the bond yields down because, again, investors are saying this is a mug's game in terms of a long-term hold, and we don't want to be the last people trying to get out of these things. Now, from time to time, we actually see the color of their money. That probably almost certainly happened in the UK today when gilts were doing very badly, but then recovered to show a small gain. So the central banks will have to come in from time to time to provide the beef behind the cheerleading. But really, I think it's game over. You can only be a bull of these long-dated government bonds if you really do suspect the protracted deflation and perhaps even depression that, well, lots of people have been talking about, but let's remember, Bernanke is really saying over my dead body in terms of his actions, and I wouldn't want to bet against that. Mean, they can create, they're creating future inflation and all these trillions in stimulus packages certainly provide a cushioning effect. Now, we can argue all day and night about whether the US or the global economy will be better off or worse off as a consequence 10 or 20 years from now, when nobody knows. But what is important, and at least to me, is how we actually deal with this situation right now, and I like to move with central banks, not against the central banks. I'm not going to move with them in terms of buying their bonds, but my point is that I think that the Japanese style deflation is less of a risk than people actually think. The depression forecasts I've always felt were too extreme. That doesn't mean it isn't a very difficult recession. We know that. Okay, looking elsewhere, US dollar. I maintain that the dollar's on borrowed time as a strong currency, and the US. It's interesting, we had Geithner talking about the sort of repeating the Rubin mantra about a strong dollar is good for the USA, you usually get that when they know it's going to weaken, and they're sort of anticipating some of the criticism and trying to head it off. But we've been getting this leapfrog game of competitive devaluation going on for well over a year. And as a matter of fact, it's a regular feature in terms of market events. And no country wants a strong currency in this environment. But the trouble is, once they weaken their currency, and then that when it stops going down, that tends to attract a little demand, and then some other country drops a sandbag on their currency, jawbones it down, and presto, the one that had been weakened previously suddenly finds that it's stronger than it had hoped to be. So you get this in rotation overall. And the currencies that I feel are most vulnerable are the ones that were strongest for quite some time, but are now showing signs of weakening. And that is the yen and the US dollar. And I don't have any dollar shorts at the moment, regrettably, but I certainly will, in the not too distant future. But I do have some yen shorts right now, and I'm likely to add to those. Precious metals, this was an improvement here today. They've been undergoing some selling pressure in the last few days, as you will have noticed. Today was the first sign that maybe that selling pressure is over. We've got some tails on the charts. For instance, silver, I'm looking at May silver, that dropped down to 1295 and a half at one point this morning, but then rallied back up to 1361. It's currently 1346 and a half. So there's a lot of tail on the chart indicating that the lower level could not be sustained. I bought a little bit more platinum in here today. It has not seen the sort of pullback that we saw in silver and gold, but the pattern's very consistent. It's generally quite firm, and I wanted to leverage that position up a little bit. And I think that's pretty much it. Again, another very interesting day. Lots of opportunities here in the markets, and I think tomorrow or Friday I'll review my long-term investment positions and talk about some additional candidates. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.